will make confession of our faith using the Belgic Confession of Faith, Article 35, regarding the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. Article 35 of the Belgic Confession of Faith. We believe and confess that our Savior Jesus Christ did ordain and institute the sacrament of the Holy Supper to nourish and support those whom he hath already regenerated and incorporated into his family, which is his church. Now those who are regenerated have in them a twofold life, the one corporal and temporal, which they have from their first birth and is common to all men, the other spiritual and heavenly, which is given them in their second birth, which is effected by the word of the gospel in the communion of the body of Christ. And this life is not common, but is peculiar to God's elect. In like manner, God hath given us for the support of the bodily and earthly life, earthly and common bread, which is subservient thereto and is common to all men, even as life itself. But for the supper of the spiritual and heavenly life which believers have, he hath sent a living bread which descended from heaven, namely Jesus Christ, who nourishes and strengthens the spiritual life of believers when they eat him, that is to say, when they apply and receive him by faith in the Spirit. Christ, that he might represent unto us this spiritual and heavenly bread, hath instituted an earthly and visible bread as a sacrament of his body, and wine as a sacrament of his blood, to testify by them unto us that as certainly as we receive and hold this sacrament in our hands, and eat and drink the same with our mouths, by which our life is afterward nourished, we also do as certainly receive by faith, which is the hand and mouth of our soul, the true body and blood of Christ, our only Savior, in our souls for the support of our spiritual life. Now, as it is certain and beyond all doubt that Jesus Christ hath not enjoined to us the use of his sacrament in vain, and so he works in us all that he represents to us by these holy signs. Though the manner surpasses our understanding and cannot be comprehended by us, as the operations of the Holy Ghost are hidden and incomprehensible, in the meantime, we err not when we say that what is eaten and drunk by us is the proper and natural body and the proper blood of Christ. But the manner of our partaking of the same is not by the mouth, but by the Spirit through faith. Thus then, though Christ always sits at the right hand of his Father in the heavens, yet doth he not therefore cease to make us partakers of himself by faith. This feast is a spiritual table at which Christ communicates himself with all his benefits to us and gives us there to enjoy both himself and the merits of his sufferings and death, nourishing, strengthening, and comforting our poor, comfortless souls by the eating of his flesh, quickening and refreshing them by the drinking of his blood. Further, though the sacraments are connected with the things signified, nevertheless, both are not received by all men. The ungodly indeed receives the sacrament to his condemnation, but he doth not receive the truth of the sacrament, as Judas and Simon the sorcerer both indeed received the sacrament, but not Christ, who was signified by it, of whom believers only are made partakers. And lastly, We receive this holy sacrament in the assembly of the people of God with humility and reverence, keeping up among us a holy remembrance of the death of Christ our Savior, with thanksgiving, making their confession of our faith and of the Christian religion. Therefore, no one ought to come to this table without having previously rightly examined himself, lest by eating of this bread and drinking of this cup he eat and drink judgment to himself. In a word, we are excited by the use of this holy sacrament to a fervent love toward God and our neighbor. Therefore, we reject all mixtures and damnable inventions which men have added unto and blended with the sacraments as profanations of them, and affirm that we ought to rest satisfied with the ordinance which Christ and his apostles have taught us, and that we must speak of them in the same manner as they have spoken. Next, we'll turn to the scriptures and read from the first general epistle of John, chapter 5, 1 John, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Here ends the reading of God's Word.
Congregation, the text verse for this night's service can be found in verse 6, 7, and 8, where we read the scriptures thus: This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. The congregation, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it's the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. In the first place, this text speaks about a fulfillment of an Old Testament type. We read in Leviticus 14, when a leper had to be cleansed, there had to be brought a sacrifice. And that sacrifice consisted out of two birds. And the one bird had to die. The priest with his nails was splitting the head of the bird, and the blood was to be gathered in living water. So water out of the way well. There's the blood was to be gathered in a bowl with living water out of a well. And the second thing the priest had to do, he took, says Leviticus 14 verse 6, he shall take it and the cedar wood and scarlet and the hyssop, and he shall dip them in the living bird in blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. Now what he does, he makes a little stick with hyssop, and he sprinkles the water and the blood upon the second bird. And do you know what happened? The bird was to go free. It means, congregation, in the first place, the death and resurrection of Christ. He died, and he raised. So the first bird was a sacrifice for sin, and the second was sprinkled with the blood and the water in which the blood was gathered in a bowl. But more, it means also, dear congregation, the way in which a sinner is healed, is saved. He can only be saved by the application of the Spirit and the blood of Christ. And he will be set free, like the bird was set free on high, sprinkled with the blood of the first bird, and the Spirit gained by the bird, free. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. My dear congregation, John, only John, has written by the Spirit about the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know that when they saw that the Lord Jesus died, no bone was broken, like the lamb should. But the murderers, their bones, their legs were broken to die before the Sabbath day. But then the soldier took a spear and he pushed it into the heart of our Lord Jesus. And what came out of it? Water and blood. As the fruits of his sacrifice. For what reason? To come to a soul in the way of water and blood. That's what John says. Excuse me. So, dear congregation, when Christ comes to a soul, he comes in the way of water and blood. Now, what does it mean? Well, the water points to the Holy Spirit, to regeneration. And the blood points to justification, forgiveness of sin. And my dear congregation, let's go to the text exactly. First, water and blood. Secondly, separate from each other. Many people say it today. You can be born again and yet have no forgiveness of sins. But what happened in the Old Testament? And what happened coming out of the heart of the Lord Jesus? Water and blood, how? Mingled, mixed together. Now, what do you mean by it? My dear congregation, in the life of a Christian, when you're converted, you have to do in the first place with the power of sin. When the commandment came in, sin revived. Some say to me, Pastor, no, it starts with guilt of sin. I don't believe so. When the commandment comes in, sin revives. You try to kill one, and 30 snakes are putting up their head. Do you understand me? You want to be cleansed of one sin through the Spirit, and you got a lot back. And you know what needs to happen, congregation? It's not difficult. You have to lose the battle. Psalm 65. I was overcome by evil. See, when the Lord starts to convict the sinner, he wants to be a holy one, a better one. I told you many a time, I tried to walk a bit slower and my head a bit across, talk a bit different, make some impression upon people. Try to please God. But the more I tried, the more of a hypocrite I became. God knows. No peace. Sin revived. And what? What? I died. I didn't become a living Christian. Do you know what I became shortly? A dead sinner, unable to save himself. You know what I believe, my dear congregation? Everyone that's in Christ has been for a certain time under the law to please God. And do you know what God does? Justifying ungodly ones. Why I'm saying this is because you have a time and age that people say to me, I'm born again, have some impressions, some convictions, and I start to be a Christian. No! He doesn't come by water only. He comes by water and blood. I'm not saying, my dear congregation, that the forgiveness of sins is the first thing that happens when the Lord starts to work in your soul by the Spirit. I said when the commandment came in, sin revived, and I died. I had a young man in one of my congregations, and he was under conviction. And he lived in a small village, and they tapped on his shoulder and said, "You're becoming a Christian, you will. You're probably already one." You know what he did? Run away for such a language. He says, "I don't know Christ." See, when the Lord comes, He comes in the way of water and blood. Now, what's blood? Blood covers a sinner to make him white. You know that the blood of the Lamb was brought at the posts of the door. When judgment came in, they had to believe two things. That they would be judged, and that the Son would die. But the second thing they need to believe, that the blood of Christ was covering all their sins for salvation. And my dear congregation, when the Lord starts to come in your life, you will have convictions that it's in the administration, the form of the administration of the Lord's Supper, that everyone considers by himself his sins and curse due to it. For them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God. Considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that rather than it should go unpunished, he has punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. And my dear congregation, that doesn't go better. You know, if he is a child of God, he has more remorse that he didn't sin only against the law, but against love and favor. See, some people say to me, "Yeah, but if you're a Christian, you're past that stage." Evangelical repentance is knowing that you sinned against grace, against the love of Christ, against goodness. And you know what the Bible says? You're not worthy to be a child of God anymore. Why I say this, congregation, because in a true faith, it's not a line. Misery, deliverance, and thankfulness. You know it, my catechism class, you know it. It's a circle. Go deeper. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Oh, miserable man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of sin? Paul didn't say at the end of his life, "I'm a saved sinner." He said, I'm not saying he didn't say it. But at the end of his life, do you know what he said? "I'm the chief of sinners." the least of the apostles, and worthy to be called an apostle. And I believe the devil uses it sometimes in the life of a child of God and says, you don't have any grace if you were and are like this. But my dear congregation, grace doesn't consist in my betterness or goodness, or grace consist, you know what the Bible says? He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son has not life. It's outside of myself here. When I lost all, I gained everything in Christ. And the blood of Christ covers all the sins of his people. And I've said it before to you, when the blood is covering the posts of the door of such an Israelite, the Lord doesn't look behind the door, what it might be in your life. If he sees blood, he passes by. But now the question, are your sins forgiven you? Is there a testimony of it? Why I say this, I go back again to the forum, and some say, the forum. But if we leave the doctrines of the church in the practice of spiritual life, there's no hope for the church. My dear congregation, what says the second thing? That everyone examine his own heart, whether he does believe this faithful promise of God that all his sins are forgiven him. Only for the sake of passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own. Yea, so perfectly as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. When Christ comes to your soul, he takes away all your sins. He comes in the way of his blood, in the forgiveness of your sins. And he applies his obedience to your soul as if you had never sinned before. But not your own, but a strange righteousness of God. And some have said to me, but if you believe the promise, that's enough. I said, wait a moment. We are not Roman Catholic. Roman Catholics say you may believe the promise, but you don't need to know what it contains of. But which promise do you believe? That your sins are forgiven you? Only for the sake of Christ. And his obedience is made your own by a true faith in him. I go back a bit. We are not coming to the Lord's Supper to say that we know it all, and that we are in ourselves righteous. You know who comes to this supper? Who is afflicted, attacked by the devil, his own conscience. And he says, Pastor, I have had a time that I could believe it, but my sins, my prayer life, my office life. My promises, which it didn't keep. Congregation, forgiven only for the sake of Jesus. But we need to know if it's applied. And what's the application? That's a true faith. And what's the fruit of it? Peace. A peace surpassing all understanding. A love that's eternal. Am I too strict? Should I lower it? Are we Reformed or Roman Catholic? What's the true doctrine? Not only by the water, but when he comes by the water and the blood. John says especially, not only by the water, but by the water and the blood. Not only by regeneration, but also by the forgiveness of sins. And if it hasn't happened, wait. Needs to be applied. If he comes. But Pastor, I know it for sure. And it is the Spirit that bears witness. It seals the promises. He seals the promises. After I believed, the promises are sealed by the Holy Spirit, says Paul. Let me go back to John Warburton, you know him. His sins were forgiven him when he thought it's the last time to go to church. Christ was applied to his soul. And he was set free. And he came to a gathering of people, you know it, and he witnesses it himself. And he had been to that gezelschap years before, and they all said, yeah, you can't really know for sure what happens. It's better to miss it than to know it. Now, that was the language by which he was educated, and but when the Lord set him free, he came back to that gezelschap, that gathering of people, of God together, and he said, the Lord forgave me my sins, and I am set at liberty. And he spoke to the glory of his name, and the preciousness of his Savior. Do you know what happened? They said, John, you know it too sure, can be true. So he fled out of the house, fell in a ditch. And he said, Lord, they say I'm not converted. But if I'm not, convert me now. And you know what happened? All the promises of God, like flowers, went into his soul. And the Spirit beareth witness. My dear congregation, you don't need to be approved by the consistory. Our dominie van de Poel in the Netherlands always said, Paul wasn't approved for 3 years. But God loved him most because he was approved by the Spirit of God himself. In the Arabian desert, And after 3 years, he got a hand to fellowship, isn't it? After 3 years. May I ask you, my dear congregation, and those who fear the Lord, is there a witness in your heart of the Spirit? Is there a testimony of the Spirit of God that your sins are forgiven you? Is there a testimony of a desire for communion with the Lord Jesus? Have you lost all your self-righteousness, your strength and wisdom? Is there a witness in your heart that you may say, oh, what enemies is so desirous? I don't have anything of my own. When Christ comes, he came and he comes by water and blood. Jesus Christ, not only by the water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Yeah, no, the Lord's Supper is there, eh? I know some struggle. Where do you need to be to know that you can go? Consistory, people of God. The Spirit is it that beareth witness. Not reasoning, I got it and I went in the past. The Spirit is it that beareth witness. Because the Spirit is truth. My dear congregation, I've said that this text is a text, the tense is used in your wrist. It means that he came on the cross, but he is always coming in the same way to a sinner, by Spirit and blood. And if you're in Christ, you're born again, and your sins are forgiven you. I know some people struggle, especially when you say it clear. But I'm not pointing to yourself. I'm pointing to the precious Savior. When he comes, he takes everything along. Jacob, when he passed away, what did he say? I wait for thy salvation. And when he came, he took everything with him. Water and blood. Spiritual life to break down the power of sin, and blood to cover your sins in the sight of God, as if ye had never sinned before. You know, when I preach this, even among you now, I see you, some of you, shrugging away. Is there not a witness of the Spirit then? Is there not a witness of the Spirit in your life then? Have you been under a cutting preaching of all self-righteousness? Or have you been built up to seek some extra Christ outside of Christ? Oh, my dear congregation, when he comes, he takes water to wash you and blood to cleanse you. He has the power to break sin and to cover sin. Is there a need for him, for his communion? You know, he is a friend. of winebibbers and drunkards and liars. Pastor, I don't want to hear this. But he's called like it, isn't he? He's called a Samaritan. And he had the devil. You know, at the Lord's Supper is there. I had a friend in Canada, an elder there. He said, do you know, the first time when I came to the Lord's Supper, I thought, I'm a real sincere young man, and I know the Lord. And then, I thought I never murdered a man. And the Bible says, and the Catechism says, that we have sinned against all the sins grievously. And he said, I didn't. I never had another wife, he said to me last Sunday. But then the Lord convicted me that when I look to another wife already committed adultery. And then the lady in the church, or before Christ, had 7 men, and I had 10,000, he said, an elder. He says, and then he cried and he said, but I am not resting in my faithfulness, but in the faithfulness of my dear Lord and Savior, in his righteousness. We had such a good meeting. He comes by the water and the blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are 3 that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these 3 are one. Congregation, there is a, for 7-4 is a reason. Now there is a bearing of witness of the Spirit. And what does the Spirit bear witness? Well, there are 3 that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. That are the 3 persons of the Trinity. And they bear record. When Christ is coming to a soul, what record? The love of the Father who elects. The love of the Son who forgives. Gracious. Although the Father forgives. The love of the Son who redeems, that's better. And the love of the Spirit who sanctifies in heaven. There is a heavenly witness in the soul. That's the love of the Father, the love of the Son, and the love of the Holy Ghost. Now, congregation, when you've been made a partaker of Christ, you will know what's love. And that love is heavy. It's eternal love of the Father. I've loved thee with an eternal love. It's a love unto death of the Son. And he loved them to the uttermost. And it's a love poured out in the soul by the Holy Ghost. That love by which we love him, that loved us. My dear congregation, is that witness in our hearts? As that day, how does it happen, Pastor, it turns like this? It changes suddenly. There's a moment in his wrath, life in his good pleasure. That love that breaks down, that brings you back to paradise, that does make you walk in his precepts, that does love because God loved first. We love him because he first loved us. May I ask you, is there a witness of the Spirit of the love of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Someday a student came to my place and said, I can't be a pastor. I don't love the Lord enough. And I said, my dear friends, you don't need to preach because you love the Lord enough. You need to preach because the Lord loved you eternally. He said, Burns in China was hopeless. He would give up his ministry. He sat down on a certain point and he said, let's go home. I have no zeal, no desire. Love is vanishing. And he wanted to go back from China to Europe. And he sat down in despair. And suddenly the Lord showed him that it was not his love towards God, but the eternal love of God in Christ towards him. And it revived in his soul. Is there a witness of love, my dear congregation? Love fulfilleth the law. He says, that's a new commandment, that ye love each other. Communion of saints. Do you love those? Here, the chapter starts. Whosoever believeth that Christ, Jesus is the Christ, is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot him will also love that is begotten of him. Truth means faithfulness of Christ is always accompanied by love as a fruit of it, as a witness of the Spirit in the soul. Is that always strong, Pastor? I'm not saying it. But it can be missed this night even. But if it has happened in your life, you groan under it. Say, oh, I left my first love. I know there are people here who know what I mean by first love. You know what you said to the Lord? I will never sin again. You said it. I know you said it. And how many days could you live without him? It was a Domine, he wrote the book Domine Koster in the Netherlands, but it doesn't matter. It's not translated in English. And Christ became for him an all in all. And then the Spirit witnessed against him. He says, you have forsaken your first love. And then he said, and I struggled with the Lord. I said, Lord, thou hast said that thou would be for me my all in all. And now they are complaining that I lost my first love. I said, I don't know what to think about thee anymore. If Christ is my all in all. And I traveled with that letter that he wrote. I thought, yeah, that's the case. Why was that first love there? Because he first loved his people. And that love was an answer by the Holy Spirit towards the love of God. And do you know when the Spirit says, you have grieved me? Or say it different, when you have love, forsaken the first love. Would Christ forsake his love? I desired you be a terrible sinner who forsook me so many days to eat this meal with you. To strengthen you, to love you, to be loved by me to the uttermost. The Father who gave his Son, the Son who gave himself, and the Spirit who plies the Father and the Son to the soul. Is there a witness of love? Is there a desire? My young boy, is there a desire to be with him? To commune with him? Is there a love? Because he loved first. is more of a witness. And there are three that bear witness in earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. It can be three things, two things, even of every word. If there is a spiritual witness on earth, what does it mean, Pastor? That you didn't receive the spirit of bondage, but the spirit of adoption. Child-like. To be child. That's the witness of the Spirit on earth. That we are children of God. Not to fear, but to love. The water, I've said it already, is there a spirit of the water, then you know what it is to be unclean and to be cleansed by the power, the strength of the Spirit in your soul. Is there a testimony of the blood? That's peace. Has there been peace? Is there peace through the blood of Christ? But my dear congregation, the connotations of the Statenvertaling point to both sides. And the other explanation is this: the Spirit points to the doctrines of truth, to the preaching. Sorry, but you can't look in the connotations of the Statenvertaling, otherwise you could look it up. And I have it with me, so I could show it if you could read Dutch. But it doesn't matter, I want to say this. The Spirit might mean the doctrines of grace. Is there a witness in the preaching to your souls of what's preached before? You know what I'm saying? Has there been a time in your life that while preaching was there, that you saw the beauty of the Lord? That you've seen the wonders of grace? That you have felt the peace by preaching? When Christ is preached unto you for a condemned sinner, has there been a blessing of the Spirit during preaching? That's a witness, says John. And you sit in church and you lose everything, and you see him in his glory, in his majesty, in his all in all. Has there been a witness in baptism? As water. When baptized, when children were baptized, has there been a spiritual witness to your soul concerning your baptism? It's a witness on earth. Water. Or is it just a form? Have you ever seen that the Lord brought you to baptism in the way of covenant, asking, "My son, my daughter, give me your heart"? That he was seeking you before you ever could seek him. Has there been a spiritual witness when you saw the child baptized that couldn't cleanse itself, but that only the blood of Christ, typified by the water, could cleanse it from all sins? I ask you, has there been a witness, not only by the Spirit on earth, but also congregation by the water and the blood The connotations of the Statenvertaling point to the Lord's Supper. Water, baptism, blood, the Lord's Supper. Has there been once a witness at the Lord's Supper that you were his? And that your sins were forgiven you? And that you had peace and love? Has there been a witness of the Spirit before in the administration of the Lord's Supper, my dear congregation? I know it's a searching ministry this night, but that's meant to be. That's meant to be. We shouldn't go to the Lord's Supper if these witnesses by the Spirit are not in our hearts. But Pastor, you're throwing us back upon ourselves. No, I'm not. I'm asking you, is there a witness of God in your souls? For when he comes by water and blood. Again, go to the connotations of the Statenvertaling, and probably, I don't know, it may even that in the King James Version there are connotations in the same way, but it means the forgiveness of sins. When Christ comes, he takes everything with him. We have sung it this night. If there is a true faith in Christ, when he is revealed to your soul, there will be the Spirit and the blood. Regeneration and justification. The forgiveness of sins. You can't separate these things from each other. They are flowing from the cross, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. I know it's a searching message. But we have to meet God. Let's be true. I'm going a bit down. Someone might say, Pastor, it's long ago. I'm not saying no, but God is so far away. There have been better times. I know there were. My dear, there were. Why is it? Did he forsake you? You forsook him. Building up some self-piety and righteousness, probably. But like you received him as an ungodly, walk thus in him. You've had better times, my son. And now you're trying to build up yourself. And God will hide his face for you. He must be made your all in all. And if you leave him, the simplicity, says Paul in the letter of Galatians, which is in Christ, you know where you will turn back to? To the law. And when you turn back to the law, Christ will hide his face. There will be no testimony anymore. You will be attacked and tried. Child of God in our midst. I go back to one of the Puritans. He said, if you ever believed once. See, there is something in ourselves. Eh? There is something in man that doesn't consist with the being of God. You know, we think in time. Past, present, and future. God is always present. You know what it means? What he said and did yesterday is the same today. Therefore he says, I loved you with an eternal love. And I didn't change. It's the same bread, the same body of Christ, the same blood, the same invitation, the same Christ, the same glory, the same mercy, the same comfort, yesterday, today, and forever. My dear friend, how long does he know I changed? How long do you tarry? How long? Pastor, it doesn't say we come to him. No. When he comes to you, again and again, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord's Supper. Same sinner, worse. But the same Savior, the same love, the same peace, the same glory, the same comfort, time and eternity. Oh, my dear congregation. When he comes tomorrow, he'll take everything with him. I had my 40th anniversary of our wedding last week. But the people coming to my wedding were free. They didn't need to take bread with them. It was free. When he comes, he takes with him water to wash it. And blood to forgive you. He that cometh by water and blood. And there is a testimony by the Spirit that the Spirit is truth. Don't ask books. Ask the Lord that he might be a testimony of himself unto you. And who can withstand that love and that peace when he begs you and he says, come unto me, oh ye sinner, I'm the same today and forever. May the Lord bless us all for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, it was a searching message. And oh, there might be a sinner in our midst and say, now I have nothing anymore. He is fit to go to the Lord's Supper. Oh, there might be in our midst a fool. And he says, I have no wisdom anymore. I don't know it. He is ready to come. For thou art the wisdom of that people. Oh, there is a sinner. He says, many a time sinned. And I abhor myself and cry unto thee. He is ready to come. For thou art taken with the blood. Oh, there is a sinner in our midst and he says, Lord, their sins are too strong. I cannot put up with it. And thou art bringing with thee water of thy Spirit. To struggle to fight sin. Lord, where shall we go? Where shall we go? We pray that thou mightest bless thy supper tomorrow. And that sinners might sit, rest, eat and drink of thee. Thee alone. To the glory of the Father. Through thy Spirit. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.